Inspired Parenting Radio Show with host Sandy Sedgbeer, where our mission is to inspire conscious parents, families, and educators by bringing you the latest research and thinking on supporting today's highly evolved children to fulfill their potential as healthy, confident, resourceful, and emotionally intelligent individuals.
Rude. But assuming you're a woman, when was the last time anyone talked to you about your bladder or your bowels, or for that matter, anything below your belt not related to giving birth? Growing up in England with a mother who was constitutionally incapable of discussing such matters, I was totally unprepared for dealing with a period each month, let alone anything else that might be going on in my developing body. And since my experience was pretty much the norm at that time, the only other sources of advice, my older sister and school friends, were equally ill-equipped to further my own or their education. Pooping, peeing, periods, pelvic health, female body parts, and God forbid sex were all taboo topics. But hey, things were a lot different now. We've come a long way since then, haven't we? Well, maybe not as far as we think. With pelvic health disorders affecting one out of three women in the USA and costing Americans over $30 billion per year for the care and treatment of many largely preventable issues, there's clearly a good deal more our daughters and us need to know about caring for the female body. My guest this week, Jenny Donatelli-Ein, and her colleague Missy Lavender, founder of the Women's Health Foundation, are on a mission to change this. Together, Missy and Jenny have written a delightfully frank, humorous, and surprisingly tender book for adolescent girls in which they cover everything that can happen below a girl's belt. Jenny Donatelli-Ein earned her degree in kinesiology from the University of Illinois at Chicago and has worked in the health and fitness industry for the past 14 years. In 2002, Jenny's passion for health and fitness led to teaching high school health education, dance, and yoga. In 2005, she was introduced to Missy Lavender and the Women's Health Foundation, where she now works in program development, helping to develop a variety of learning modules within the adolescent pelvic health curriculum. Jenny Donatelli-Ein, welcome to the Inspired Parenting Show.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Jenny, Below the Belt, which you co-wrote with Missy Lavender, goes way beyond most books of this nature. So tell us what inspired you to write this particular book and go all out to reveal the truth about everything.
Right. So Missy, as you had said, she founded the Women's Health Foundation, and I had been working there since 2005, and we've done studies and research with women, adult women, and they were the ones who kept saying, our girls need to know this, our granddaughters need to know this, our nieces need to know this. And so Missy listened, and we went into the Chicago Public Schools, and we did a research study there to really kind of find out what girls do know below the belt. And fortunately, that research study was published last year in the Journal of Pediatric and Adolescent Gynecology, which we were happy that we got accepted to that journal. And just having these conversations with the girls, it was so apparent to us that they are kind of hungry for this information. They need this information. They want this information. And they were so open and willing to talk about things below the belt with us. So when we realized there's only so many schools we can reach, Missy and our board really kind of said, this is something that we need to get to, you know, to a broader reach. And so we decided that writing a book would be one of the best ways to help to get this information to as many girls as possible.
Well, why do you think so many other books have shied away from being as honest as you're being?
You know, I think it's not that I don't think that they shied away, maybe, but usually the focus is just on menstruation for girls. And truly, the Women's Health Foundation, their focus has always been on bladder health, bowel health, you know, just pelvic health in general, and changing the thought around it and the language around it. So for the past, you know, 11, 12 years, this has been our mission And I think other people, they just maybe weren't thinking about everything that encompassed this part of a woman, a female body.
You know, it's hard to believe that many women still don't know enough about what goes on below the belt to teach their daughters about good pelvic health practices, or that many young girls are still being left to make it up as they go along. So why do you think so many women still find it awkward to start this conversation?
You know, it's so interesting because I think at some age, the women in our office and that we work with, we believe there's a point when many girls push this part of their body aside. They kind of, you know, we're faced with that every month, right? No, I don't want to do that every month, but you have no choice. So you keep going. And so there's a part that we think a lot of women, that's what happened. At one point, kind of disconnected from this part of their body. Not all, of course, but several. And so that makes it awkward because if you're not connected and understanding your own body, then it makes it more difficult, obviously, to have those open conversations with your own daughter or if you're a caregiver to, you know, a young girl. So, and I even feel when I taught health education, here I was a health educator, and the very first time I taught it, I realized this is not easy to have these conversations, to open up about this. So I got better as I, you know, taught health education, especially sexual health, but I had a lot of practice in it. So I can imagine for somebody who's never had to have these conversations with themselves even, that it would be very difficult to have these conversations with a young girl.
It's interesting, isn't it, that we develop so much shame and embarrassment around things that are perfectly natural.
Yes, absolutely. I think you really hit the nail on the head right there. I think what we're trying to do, too, is change the culture around pelvic health, especially for girls, and so that they understand. So when I, you know, young girl, I find that gets her period, I say, congratulations, that means you're really healthy, so that the shame goes away, because we did find in the study that some of the, you know, terms that they are using that have been used in the past, just even about menstruation in itself, are so negative. And when in reality, it means, wow, you're such a healthy, young, thriving, you know, teenager or tween, that this is a wonderful thing. And can we change the language so that girls feel more confident and comfortable, as you said, with something that's so natural that, you know, without it, we wouldn't be a species here.
Well,
so
that's
it's
right.
So important.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we call it the curse. And I've noticed that men feel very awkward around it. And, have you, you know, is it that time of the month? And they say it almost like, you know, as if they're holding up a garlic strand or something. Keep away from me, Dracula. There's just so much misinformation around these things.
I think you're right. There's so much misinformation around it. And, you know, there are, in the book, we do have a part, some men are great about it. As a matter of fact, when I taught health, some of my most really insightful and thoughtful questions came from the boys. Because they didn't know anything, so they were really trying to grasp and understand. And I was always so impressed with those young boys because they really wanted to get it. And one of them was like, you know, I have a girlfriend. I just want to understand better. Mm-hmm. And it was so thoughtful and so kind. But you're right. There are some of those men who, like you said, they wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But there's women like that too, right, who want nothing to do with it.
For sure. Like my mother.
Yeah.
She, bless her heart, you know, she would shrivel up and die rather than discuss something like that.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the sad thing is you say that our awkwardness about addressing such a sensitive subject has resulted in many girls suffering for years in silence with a number of different things, you know, urinary tract infections, digestive problems, even bladder leakage. You know, that shocked me that young girls would be, you know, experiencing some of these things and having no one to talk to about them.
Right. I think you're right, because it's not, well, that's the goal. The goal of this book and the goal of going in and teaching is so that we can arm them with language so that they understand their body better, especially, you know, in navigating the chapter on anatomy, and understanding how it functions so that they can then be confident enough to have these conversations with their doctors and also to recognize when something isn't going right. Yeah, so a little bladder leakage when you're giggling with your girlfriends doesn't seem like that big of a deal until you start, you know, doing your gymnastics performance when you're on the soccer field, and now you're kind of wetting your pants, and then you don't want to talk about it, so you quit. Now we're talking about a much bigger deal. But if they realize, okay, this is a sign that might mean that I need to talk to someone, that's one of the goals. And we know women, 1 in 3 women have this problem. I feel like it's maybe even more. And like I said, that's in my eyes, especially in my kinesiology background, I just see it being a whole kind of a spiral into whole other health issues. Because now if you stop being active, then we just know the whole gamut can just, you know, of problems can be there.
So the
quality of life being number one.
Yes, absolutely. So the book is called Below the Belt, How to Be Queen of Your Pelvic Region. Why that subtitle?
So So our yearly, it's actually Below Your Belt. So our yearly fundraiser that we've been having at Women's Health Foundation was always Below the Belt. Our founder, Missy Lavender, she was always, as you can imagine, when she started talking to people about bladder health, and we're a nonprofit, and, you know, looking for funders, that was not a very sexy thing. And people didn't want to talk to us. And so she got very clever with her own thoughts and marketing. And we had an amazing team. And we do this great event called Sex Chocolate in Your Pelvic Floor. But that's not for the tweens. That's for the adults, which then started, you know, the same thing. It's the language. She really, I feel like Women's Health Foundation really came up with this pelvic health and vaginal health and uterine health, and Below the Belt was, we're fighting for pelvic health. So that was where that came from. And so when we wrote the book, we thought, well, let's kind of keep with the theme and let's go with Below Your Belt.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is Jenny Donatelli. I'm co-author of a much needed book written especially for young girls about everything they need to know about what goes on below their belts.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful transformational intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Region. Jenny, you say that pelvic pain, bladder leakage, and organ prolapse are often associated with and accepted as part of the aging process, when in fact these often devastating health issues are almost always preventable. Say a bit more about that.
So teaching the girls, there's a chapter in the book about just the muscles of the pelvic pyramid, and that is something that the Women's Health Foundation has been doing research on, and teaching the girls about how to keep the front, back, and floor, as we say, strong, is something that we really try to reinforce with. And one of the goals of writing this book is obviously to reach the moms and the caregivers too, because we know that they might be suffering in silence. And having, again, some of this information for them, we're hoping that that can help them and help their daughters too if they happen to have any of these issues. But, so part of this pelvic pyramid and keeping it strong. Now, we don't go into teaching young girls, you know, that they should be doing a Kegel, but we teach them that there are, we call them these, in the pelvic floor muscles, in the book we call them the pretty fabulous muscles, and we teach them what they are and why they're so important to not ignore, especially if something is going on. And so one of the things we had learned is we don't want young girls to be doing Kegels unless a healthcare provider specifically tells them to. But we do want them to say at some point in their life, you know, if they decide to get pregnant and have a baby, or if they are having bladder issues and a doctor says, you know, you should be doing these Kegels, they might say, oh yeah, I remember reading about those in that book. And I guess it's time now. So that it's not just something foreign to them that they've never heard of before.
Now, you say that the symptoms of compromised pelvic health can follow girls into adulthood. What kind of symptoms would they be experiencing at that age?
Well, one that we've discovered, just a big one, and a very important topic with the girls, is constipation. Many of, I think, just adults and children in America, I want to say, maybe all over the world, but suffer from some type of constipation. And that can really wreak havoc on the pelvic floor, the straining and the stretching of the muscles over and over and over. So really helping them understand and having, you know, language to talk to their doctor about, and we even give some tools to help with nutrition and some other, you know, just proper positioning and seating to help them with constipation. But that one can just be chronic all the time. Same with urinary tract infections or yeast infections. You know, some of those things that you can do, like sitting all the way down, wiping front to back. We have something in the book that's called the potty pledge, and that's the basis of a lot of what we teach even the women in our research study classes. And these are just simple things. And we always say a mom or caregiver may have taught her daughter to wipe front to back to try to avoid urinary tract infections, but the girl is taught when she's 2 years old. So she may have forgotten. And I will say usually at least 50% of my classes have never heard that before, or they think they've never. You know, I say your mom or your caregiver may have already taught you this, but you just don't remember. And that's when we decided to write a potty book for Ridey the Potty Train, Better Bathroom Behaviors for Little Girls on the Go. And that's just even younger. That's to reach the moms and try and talk to girls about this part of their body at an even younger age when they're more open and receptive to it.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, you know, we teach our toddlers and we're quite open about, you know, congratulating them when they finally learn to use the potty and discuss their poops and their pees. But after that, we shut up. We don't want to mention it again.
Yeah, exactly. And we also teach them that just in case peeing, I don't know if you've heard of that or saw that in the book, but that's a big one that we talk about, this mind over bladder. So we teach our children at a young age, you know, go potty just in case, you know, we're about to go to the store. And I'm guilty of it sometimes too. I have young children, but I've also tried to teach my daughter, listen to your body. If you don't have to go, I might ask her, but if you don't have to go, then don't go. Because it's almost like a weakening of the bladder. It's almost, I'm going to go see a movie, so I better go to the bathroom because I don't want to have to get up and go in the middle. But if you don't have to go, you're training your bladder to not really be strong itself, if that makes sense. We go into detail about that in the book.
You make the book really relevant to adolescents. I mean, there's humour, there's wonderful little illustrations, you know, real life language, even the text in, you know, language there as well. That was obviously a conscious decision because you wanted to appeal to that age group. Was that easy to put yourself into that mind frame, the mind frame of an adolescent?
Yeah, we wanted to be relevant. That's a really good point. Easy in a sense because we had just done a study, so we were already immersed in this adolescent world with them, but at the same time, we have a fabulous editor. So I really feel like she added so much. And same with the illustrator, too. I mean, anybody who worked, we had volunteers, anyone who helped on this project, they were so passionate about it. So it was just, it was such a team effort. And with that being said, I always like to mention all the proceeds of this book go to our continuing education and research for adolescents.
Wow, that's good. You know, one of the things I love about the book is that you go into the history and you educate, which is, you know, great information and also fun for young girls to learn about what women did in previous generations, or, you know, back in the 1600s. How did they cope with menstruation back then? They didn't even wear pants. So tell us some of the things that you cover in the book there, because I think that's entertaining and informative.
It's fascinating, right? It really is. And I have to say, everyone in the office was intrigued with this chapter for sure. And this is not something that we actually taught in the study, but we realized that it seems like every girl is interested in this part of just knowing. They all have these questions. So, yes, you know, we say how they would even use, like, leaves of some sort. We talk about periods in the 1800s. I'm trying to think. Other women who worked on the farm. We actually talked about, too, their dresses. How they might have been super thick, you know, how they wore those thick dresses with petticoats.
Yes.
To probably cover some of that up. So, yeah, just I think it's so interesting when we think about how women from the beginning of time have literally been managing, concealing this blood, right, every month.
Yeah.
For a very long time. And we all go through it. And actually, I saw... if you've ever heard of those new underpants, Thinks, have you seen this or heard of them?
And
they're fabulous from what I hear. And the founder and inventor, she seems just great. There's some YouTube, it might even be on our website if you look it up, but she does say, it's amazing that after all these years, we really haven't come up with a whole lot to help women and girls manage getting their periods. You know, they finally got rid of the belts, and then they got sticky pads, and then wings, and then tampons, and now there's the menstrual cups, which are becoming very popular. But and she now has these underwear that the blood doesn't seep through. So,
what are they called
again? Thinks, THINX. I'm pretty sure.
THINX.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, one of the things that, just to, you know, put it in context, and I don't expect you to remember everything that's in the book, but you talk about periods in the 1800s, and you say that in the late 1890s, an English woman named Selina Cooper devoted herself to helping women she saw on the farm because they didn't have any sanitary protection, so they let their period blood just flow, and their coats and their dresses were covered in bloodstains, and the farm floors were covered in straw to collect the blood. So Selina introduced them to the first pads, which were similar to rolled-up towels placed in women's underwear, except, you know, I don't believe they wore underwear until a bit later in time. But, you know, they must have used something to hold them in place. But, I mean, that's just, you know, from where we are today, to think about a woman having to cope with that is unthinkable.
It is. It's unthinkable. Now, it's interesting, too. There was a woman recently who ran the Boston Marathon. I don't know if you saw that. And she had her period, and she didn't want to deal with it because it isn't easy to write. Do I wear a pad? Do I wear a tampon? This is not comfortable when I run. So apparently she made a statement, and she didn't wear anything.
What?
And really, Wow was right, and she did. She got some coverage, definitely, on social media. And it was her way of saying, you know what? I'm running the marathon, and I don't want to wear a pad because it's uncomfortable and a tampon doesn't work for me, and this is it.
Now, did she get any negative feedback? Because, you know, we know what's happening to women who breastfeed in public. There's a lot of people who don't like it. So, you know, I'm curious to know how people responded to that.
Well, most of the ones that I saw was very positive. I didn't see, you know, any of the, I'm sure there probably were negative, but I actually didn't see those. But, I mean, I thought it was refreshing because this is, again, what women and girls deal and cope with really all the time, right? And yet we have to cover it up as best we can because we don't want to be embarrassed or have any shame with it. But that was what's so great is she was saying, there's no shame. This is me. This is how my body works. I'm running the marathon today. And I thought it was great.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's the shame. I remember one of the British runners, athletes, I don't know if it was Jessica Ennis, who during a race had to poop because that's what happens when you become a runner.
Sure.
And so she did at the side of the track in front of all the cameras. And, you know, I just can't get to grips with where this shame has come from.
Right, because we do it every day, right? Yeah. We go to the bathroom every day, and that's something that we talk to the girls about. It is fascinating that this is something we do every day. We urinate and sometimes poop if you're lucky every day, sometimes not. And yet, like you said, nobody talks about it after you're two or three.
Yeah.
You know, once you're potty trained, it's over. And then there's shame in it. And somehow we have to change that. That I do know.
Very.
And really, I'm so grateful, really, to Missy for finding the Women's Health Foundation because we're having these conversations now really because of her. And she's not afraid, and she doesn't have shame, right? She's willing to just, when the girls would bring up an issue, she would say, you know what, we have to talk about this. And she would just move forward with it.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is Jenny Donatelli. I'm a member of the Women's Health Foundation and co-author of an important new book for young girls called Below Your Belt. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
You're listening to OTR-FM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffee and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
how to start the conversation?
So I think that's with every you know, mother-daughter or caregiver-daughter or caregiver relationship, it's different. Again, starting as early as possible, I think, makes it so helpful. I've been very fortunate to be able to have this information available to my daughter at a very young age. But I realize not everybody is at that point, and their daughter might be a 14-year-old right now. But I think first of all, if you can buy the book and read the book with your daughter or with, you know, first the mom or caregiver read it and then pass it on, and then having conversations about what is in the book. It's funny how you mentioned the part about the, what did girls and women do so long ago? That's definitely one that I found so many of the girls who've read the book are so interested in. And I guess we've all probably thought about that at some point in our, you know, time and just let it go. So even having those conversations where you put it off the girl necessarily, it's not talking just about her.
Yeah.
But, you know, just kind of this whole collective, and especially, as I said, just even though we're not just talking about menstruation, just that this is natural. This is everybody goes to the bathroom. You know, that book, Everybody Poops. Just all this reminding the girl that this is just part of who we are as a species. This is what we do, and this is how we reproduce. And it's important to keep this part of our bodies healthy, because when things break down, it's a quality of life, and then it's so many other issues on top of it. You know, when I taught health education, I would say, you know, I would always start off with what is your goal and dream in life, and then kind of, you know, without your health, obviously that gets to be put aside. So reminding girls just to take care of this part of their body. So teaching anatomy at a young age is, I think, so important. One thing I found is so many women think they urinate out of their vaginas. They don't realize they have that third opening that's called a urethra. And I always love when I teach and I see the light bulb go on. But it's surprising, actually, how many people don't know that. But then again, it's not, because we're not like a boy where you can just see you urinate, you know? Mm. Boys know from day one. they can see it. They can, you know, it's so much different. So for a girl, it's not intuitive, necessarily.
You know,
teaching the anatomy is key.
One of the things that concerns me, and, you know, this was brought home to me when I was having a conversation with a young friend of mine who's got a 9-year-old daughter, and she was crying, and I said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "I'm so emotional because I, you know, was bathing my, you know, with my daughter in the bath, and I noticed that she's developing hair." And she said, I realized that she's too young and I don't want her to grow up. And she was just so upset because she felt it was happening far too young. And it is happening younger and younger, you know, with our children as they get healthier and stronger. You know, we're breeding bigger children through the generations. Is there a difference in talking to a 13-year-old about it and talking to a 9-year-old?
You know, that's, I think, why the book is, you know, we say it's for age really 10 to 14. Yes, I do think it is different. But at the same time, there might be a 9-year-old who is ready for this information and a 13-year-old who's barely ready for this information. I actually got my period when I was 9. I was one of those girls, and but I was ready because I had 4 older sisters. So I was open and ready to have those conversations too at a much younger age than probably some of my friends who, you know, that wasn't even in their thought process at that point.
Well, I think, you know, my young friend, she hadn't really talked to her daughter a great deal about it. She hadn't expected it to happen yet. And, you know, the daughter herself was just, you know, not... She was mortified, not ashamed, but she was, "I don't want to grow up. I just don't want to grow up."
You know, go ahead, sorry.
No, go on. You go.
I was just going to say, I think sometimes too, it's interesting because I remember a friend of mine, she found out she was pregnant with a girl, and right away, it's like there was shame. She was like, I'm just not sure I'm ready for a girl. What do you mean? Oh, you know everything we go through. So I think as moms, we sometimes pass that down, right, to our children. Yeah. Our concerns, our fears, our frustrations over pelvic health. And so we don't want them to go through it too. And so there's this, right? But, I mean, hopefully, hopefully the goal is that we're going to change those thought processes with girls so that they feel really proud. We have a part in the book, you know, we really want girls to celebrate. One girl in our class, they did have a period party, you know, and her cousins came over and you know, she was embarrassed to say it and the kids giggled. But then I said, how did it make you feel? And she looked around and said, you know, it kind of made me feel special. You know, she didn't want to say it, but she admitted, yeah, I kind of liked it, even though I was embarrassed. So I think we need more of that, more of this celebration. And something I don't want to forget to talk about, too, that we do talk about in the book is ovulation, because we did discover, number one, a lot of girls don't really understand their periods. They don't understand why they get them. But ovulation, we found, is really kind of a key component to teach, because that was when, have you who? You know, they had never heard that word. They didn't understand that word. So we do talk about that in the book.
So one of the questions I was going to ask you, what do you do, you know, when the child really resists having the conversation?
I mean, I think, so I haven't personally experienced that. I will say whenever I bring a colleague or we go someplace and teach, and the teacher's in the room or the whoever it is, the chaperone, and they're very uncomfortable themselves, I would say, you know what, don't worry. The girls will love this. They want to talk about this. They get right into it and dive into it. And I always say, well, you know, this is about you. And how many things do we get to talk about that's just about you? I love teaching health that way, too. It's not math class. It's not science class. It's a class about you. So maybe, you know, if a girl is resistant, trying to help her realize that she's special, number one, just for being a girl, right? And the other part is it is about her. So that's why we want to have this conversation, because we care. I find with my own daughter, you know, if there's ever any resistance to anything, even if it's we want you to eat your broccoli, if I go back to, we're asking you to do this because we care about you, well, that helps.
Yeah. I like what you said about the period party. I mean, if we look at tribal societies, indigenous peoples, the milestones are all celebrated. You know, even today you have bar mitzvahs for boys and bat mitzvahs for girls. Young men, you know, used to be celebrated at the age of 13 and they'd join the hunt. And that was a mark of manhood, but we don't do it with the girls. And I think that is a really important rite of passage for us to be publicly celebrating with them.
I know, I keep saying I want to have a period walk, you know, like with the mother-daughter or the caregiver-daughter. But yeah, and maybe we will. Maybe we'll get to that point. But yeah, I agree. I do agree, because I think for whatever reason, I would love to see girls feel, you know, kind of elated about, wow, okay, this is a cool thing versus, oh, a dreaded thing. And somehow we can change that in this culture. We can make it happen.
You talk in the book about menopause as well. How do the young girls who have barely even got started relate to the subject of menopause?
I think it's great. I think that they're interested because, well, number one, there's an end to this, right? So that's helpful. Like, you know, first they're learning about what we have to do, what, and then there's an end. Okay. So that's helpful. And then we talk about it also to relate to their own moms. Like, hey, you know, mom might be going through menopause and you know how she takes good care of you. Well, sometimes you got to be kind of nice to her too. So it's kind of this, you know, give and take relationship, because, you know, someday you're going to be there too. And I think just any education, right, in general, well, I shouldn't say any, but most education that's useful and helpful, especially about the female body, it just helps give one more piece to that puzzle, put it together so that they have a clearer picture of where they're going. You know, I mean, they're not probably thinking about pregnancy either at that point, but they're still interested in learning about it. So I think it's the same as with, it's like these life stages, we call them for them. These are, you know, the different life stages that you'll probably go through if, you know, pregnancy isn't always a life stage for everybody, but menopause will be.
What, you know, how do they react to, you know, for some young girls, periods can be painful. You know, some can get really bad cramps and it's, you know, it's miserable for them. When you're actually talking to young girls, do you talk about ways that they can help that other than drugs?
Yes. So, and we have a part of that in the book too. And really motion, exercise, some yoga poses, being kind to the body, but also realizing that sometimes sitting in a lump, like on a log, doesn't help necessarily. So we have a concern we all have at the Women's Health Foundation is that there's so many girls, surprisingly, who do not exercise during their period, sometimes don't go to school. And when you add that up in a year, that's a lot of days. And we know in you know, third world countries, girls simply just don't even go to school and they get their periods, right?
Yeah.
And that's such a hindrance to their education. But girls in America are doing it too, or they're opting out of physical education class. And again, now we already know we have an obesity crisis here. So adding weight also can add to the cramping. It's just the whole cycle. So getting their mindset that, you know, even if it's gentle yoga, if it's gentle stretching, gentle movement, if I'm not up for, you know, running or doing gym class, you know, just being kind to the body, that's the goal. Keep them moving and keep them working through some of the pain.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm talking about educating our daughters about all the things that happen below a woman's belt with Jenny Donatelli Iam. We'll be back in a few moments, and we'll be talking about, what about the dads? How can we help the fathers be able to talk without embarrassment to their daughters about these subjects? So don't go away. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California, on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and you're listening to the Inspired Parenting Show. My guest is Jenny Donatelli Iam, and we're talking about how to safeguard our daughter's health in later life by educating them early about what goes on below their belts. Jenny, how do you advise fathers? It's often very difficult for them to be dealing with their daughters when they're going through puberty, etc., or anything to do with female matters.
Yeah. So we have a note, Dads Talk to Girls, in the book. But it's hard enough sometimes for the moms, right, to talk about mm-hmm. it. So sometimes it might be easier, actually, for the dads because they're a little more removed from it themselves and they don't have their own opinions of, you know, their own issues below the belt for as far as, you know, this type of pelvic health issues, unless they might have incontinence. But I think with the dads, once they open the door, as long as they're willing to open that door and let their daughters know that they are willing to go there with them, it's uncomfortable, you know, if they say that, but I'm willing to be there with you. And if they're not, let them know that they're willing to take them to the pediatrician to talk about it. As long as, you know, or someone, so that the, you know, the daughter or the girl knows simply that she is not alone. That's the key. And if the father feels, you know, ill-equipped to have a conversation, again, if he can at least open the conversation door and say, I care about you, I want to make sure that you're okay, I'm happy to pick up this book, I'm happy to pick up any book, I'm happy to take you to the doctor, and I'm happy to have these conversations. And again, like I said, if not, then at least make sure that she knows she can go to you so that the dad can get her to someone else who's willing to have those conversations with her.
Good advice. The book really does cover the whole gamut, everything. I don't think anything is left out. What else would you like to share with our listeners about this important topic?
You know, I think the very last chapter talks about being large and in charge, you know, queen of your pelvic region, really. The goal, I think, is just to make sure that girls have this information at a younger age. Again, the goal is prevention and quality of life, so that they can move forward and have less uncomfortable pelvic health situations. And hopefully those conversations will go all the way up to grandma and all the way down, right? That's the goal. Let's reach through the generations with having these conversations through this book. A lot of books, you know, that's why we wrote this book, because we realized the bladder health, the bowel health, the vaginal health, all the muscles and structures, they're just not in the other books that are written so well, but they just miss these pieces.
Well, you know, it's got to start somewhere, because if we don't teach our daughters, they're not going to grow up with having this addressed as just a normal, natural subject, which, you know, and they're going to then pass on whatever issues to their own daughters.
Exactly. And I will say, again, it was a privilege teaching the girls in the schools, and every one of them were so open and receptive. I shouldn't say I was surprised, but I sometimes was. And then it got easier because I just thought, this will be easy. They all want to hear it. You know, they want to talk about this. So it would be okay.
Was there any part of the conversation that they were just a little bit more embarrassed about or resistant to?
Yes, I'm trying to think. Why am I having a hard time thinking about that? No, I guess not really. I feel like there were sometimes, but maybe not really. You know, we don't go into a lot of sexual health at all in this book. You know, this is pre-sexual health, this book. But some of the schools asked us to do that, and so I would say sometimes that was where they got squeamish. And it was more when we talked about, you know, a sexual infection, like some type of STIs, sexually transmitted infections. So that's when sometimes they would get squeamish. Mm. But that's not in this book.
So tell us about the Women's Health Foundation.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like everybody who is a part of this organization has so much passion, because we work with women and girls who, as you said, suffer in silence and maybe have for a long time. And the Women's Health Foundation just kind of breaks down those barriers and it allows women to have these conversations. And to, you know, so yes, we were founded originally to help women with bladder health. And then we realized, okay, there's so much more going on below the belt and that they need support. So our goal is to do research first and education and really give women the knowledge that they need to make decisions about their own body. So we don't say, oh, you know, you shouldn't have surgery or, oh, you should only do exercise. It's here's what's available to you, because a lot of women don't even know what a pelvic floor physical therapist is or a urogynecologist. But we want women to know there's help out there, because women in general tend to suffer 7 to 12 years in silence without even talking to their healthcare provider about these issues. So we really need to break down those barriers.
I'm with you there. It's, the number of older women that I meet who have prolapses, and they're so embarrassed and ashamed of it. They don't want to go to the doctor. They're afraid of whatever treatment might be offered to them, usually surgery. And it seems to be so common.
Yeah, very common. Exactly. So, yes, surgery. But if, you know, a surgeon, that might be all they have to offer. But a pelvic floor physical therapist would be a great person to see, because they would be able to say, you know, I think exercise could really help you here. You know, and many surgeons could know that too. But if not, if someone's afraid of surgery and they'd like to see if some of these exercises could work, that's Women's Health Foundation. We have a program called Total Control, and it's really to help women with light bladder leakage and incontinence, urge incontinence, those kind of things. And the research showed that the actual exercise does help. But I always say it's just like anything else. It's like you take a pill every day. When you stop those exercises, you know, the leakage will come back. So mm-hmm. it's something that you have to keep up with. But not every woman wants surgery and would prefer that as an option.
I'm curious to know, what inspired Missy to start the foundation?
Well, she had her first baby around age 40, I think. And as you can say, things kind of below the belt didn't go as she had hoped. And she went, you know, from doctor to doctor. And some of them would say, oh, yep, this is what happens. And she'd say, no, this is not what happens. You know, this is my grandmother. This is not a 40-year-old active woman who's, you know. So she just didn't accept it. She wouldn't accept what she kept hearing. And so she, you know, you have to know Missy, because she is such a go-getter. I would say if I could have half her energy, I'd be doing great. But she just doesn't stop. And she just assembled this amazing team of physical therapists and urogynecologists and exercise physiologist, and just came up with the Total Control program, really. And that's where it started, and then it continued into this whole pelvic health arena.
Do you think that you will write a book for the young girls about sex? Because I do think you've done such a great job with this. And, you know, it's a fun book to read. It's very easy. It's not at all off-putting in any way. And I think it would be great to talk to them about sex in that manner as well.
That's a thought. No, we haven't really talked about that.
Natural follow-on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. We were thinking about maybe next, potentially college girls, but we'll see. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, these days it's very important to educate the young teens about sex.
Yes, that is true. It's true. And when I was a health educator and, you know, teaching sexual health, I really realized that, yes, that information, they need to be taught at younger and younger. That's
yes.
For sure.
Yeah, and talk, you know, the conversation needs to be a natural one that's aired whenever, wherever, I think, because then they will begin to accept it as natural.
Exactly. I think that's a really good point, because it is natural. It is. And I think that there's just too many taboos we have around this part of our body, especially as females. And it just it has to change. So, I mean, really, we're kind of on this mission. We're working on it.
It always amazes me, you know, when I walk the dog and the dog stops to poop or pee. There's no shame. He doesn't care. You know, it's not, oh, my God, they're looking at me. What am I? I'm going to find a little bush and hide in the bush and do it. You know, it is just nature.
It is. It is. And it's silly. I don't know why we do what we do, right? It is silly. I think about just, you know, women's liberation and how far we've come, and yet we still have so far to go.
And yet, yes, absolutely, I agree with you. And your other book, Riding the Potty Train, Better Bathroom Behaviours for Little Girls on the Go. Love the titles. Tell us a little bit about that before we finish the show.
Yeah, so it's kind of a little nursery rhyme, and it's really based on the potty pledge. So it's teaching little girls and really, again, getting to the mom. Because in the back, we talk about anatomy and just functional anatomy of the pelvis and the pointers of why we wipe front to back, why we need to sit all the way down to relax those pelvic floor muscles. One thing we know a lot of our moms are teaching their little girls is to hover because the toilet seat's too dirty, right? So they're afraid of germs when in reality there's more germs we found on a computer keyboard than there are sometimes on toilet seats. But we say if you're not comfortable, build a nest and put toilet paper down and then have them sit all the way down. We have a lot of people who have cleanliness phobias, right? So they pass that on to their little girls too. And that they'll stop just in case peeing, that they will drink water, and they will treasure, honor, and love their pelvis, and most of all, love themselves.
Jenny Donatelli. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for having the courage to do this.
Thank you, Sandy, for having me. It was great.
Thank you. The Inspired Parenting Radio Show is brought to you by Inspired Parenting Magazine, which offers a wealth of free and premium articles, information, booker, excerpts, tools, tips, and strategies for parenting your children in ways that build confidence and self-esteem rather than shames, blames, and wounds. I invite you to visit the website and check out the many benefits of subscribing. And also, I just want to say that the Women's Health Foundation can be found at womenshealthfoundation.org. Joining me next week will be renowned neuropsychiatrist and best-selling author Daniel J. Siegel, MD. I'll see you then.